The Yarnell Hill Fire was one of the most tragic days in the history of American firefighting. 19 Prescott-based Granite Mountain hotshots were killed when the blaze trapped them, and rescuers were unable to help. In her new book, The Fire Line, Fernanda Santos of the New York Times writes about what happened with the fire, the men who attempted to fight it, and their surviving family members. And she joins me now to talk about it. Fernanda, would we be right in characterizing wildland firefighters as people who need to be in the middle of dangerous action helping protect communities?
I think in some ways it is a true assessment of who they are. There is an element that I think is a commonality among all these guys who each have their own personal histories and different life experiences. And that is that they all love the outdoors. They are not people who are built to work within the confines of an office. And so while they did the job very seriously, took very seriously the role they had in a fire, their role in protecting communities and lives, they also enjoyed it in a way that's much greater than you and I may enjoy our jobs. They loved being dirty for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. They loved the ability to go to places that people like you and I don't usually go to. So they were thrill seekers, but that's not what drives them to do that job.
Let's go back to those days in late June of 2013. You made the reference to working 2 weeks at a time. What sort of state or condition were these hotshots in when they faced their greatest challenge? Were they physically and mentally ready for that?
Well, it's sort of hard for me to say exactly how they were feeling. I think that, you know, it's not just your physical exhaustion that plays a role. And you mentioned, were they mentally ready? Well, sometimes you may be on the first day of your run, but you leave home and you have an argument with your wife. And there goes your mental stability for that day, right? You know, they were on the 14th day of a 14-day run, so they have to take a mandatory day off after that. This was a fire that started out as a small fire, a fire that was deemed a fire of no great concern on Friday night when it started. And for that reason, there was no aggressive effort to put it out. It was also a fire that kept dodging the crews that eventually got up on the mountain on Saturday, June 29th. And the reason hotshot crews are called into fires is because they are the most trained among the hand crews. And they also work closest to the fire. So the idea is you put these guys out there, and if nobody else can do the job, the hotshots can do it.
Did it feel like this was a system failure, this was a planning failure, or this was simply Mother Nature doing something unexpected?
Absolutely not just Mother Nature doing something unexpectedly. Obviously, the storm played a big role, right? The fire was moving north. The storm came from the opposite direction with very strong winds that literally hooked the flames and turned them around. People described the flames doing a horseshoe in the air. And the flames then went the direction where the crew was. My goal when I started this research was not so much to find blame or to assign blame to one person or one incident, because I honestly believe that even if somebody made a decision that was not the best decision at the time, and there was more than one person who, in my opinion, made a decision that was not optimal, it's hard to say that that person is to blame for what happened, for that person alone carries the blame. And the reason is that in the job of firefighting in general, nobody makes a decision that's predicated on the possibility of death. So whereas we can turn around and Monday morning quarterback everything that happened, you know, they didn't have the luxury of time to sit and really evaluate whether it really made sense to do the things they did. So it was a combination of things. I think a failure of the system, a failure of very tight connections among the people on the leadership of the fire. One has to blame, and I use this word very carefully, the crew itself, because they made the decision to go down. Yeah. But again, a decision that I believe was made based on the best information they had and a belief that this was the right course of action at that time.
Will the Granite Mountain hotshots be remembered as heroes?
I don't think of them as heroes. I grew up watching Superman. I grew up watching Wonder Woman. You know, these people with magical powers would come flying out of nowhere. The journalist who would turn into a flying superhero who would save everybody who was in trouble. They were obviously not those kind of people. So they are heroes because they had the selflessness to do a job that requires a lot of courage for anyone to do. I like to think of them as people like you and I, people who had passions, one of them for fighting fires, and who died doing a job they loved and who chose to stay together until the end. None of them ran when that wave of fire came their way. Mm-hmm. So they made a decision that if they were going to get out, they were going to get out of it together. And that, to me, is what I hope will be the lasting image of them, the culture of loyalty that they shared.
Fernanda Santos of the New York Times. We've been talking about the Granite Mountain Hotshots and her new book, The Fire Line. Fernanda, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.